here on a Getaway Friday, Friday, February the 10th, 2023, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And as I told you yesterday, I believe it was, we're having a little bit of a change here in the schedule at WGH Talk. This was the time slot held by the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker for quite some time. If you're a new listener to the station, or a fairly new listener to the station, I believe back in 2018, 2019, Pastor Whitaker and I did a show called Over the Back Fence. Now, what that show was basically what's going on in the community, current events, dealing with anything under the sun. And it was Pastor Whitaker and I basically having a conversation, which is a little different from the Pastor Spot show, which has occupied this time slot for quite a while. We are going to go back for now and permanently at this point to the Over the Back Fence format. So I hope you listen, and phone lines do remain open during this show. If any topic catches your ear, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion, question on anything, give us a call. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I do want to add to that too, that the church is doing great. We've just made a few changes. We're growing, and we have so many things going on. It's very exciting there in Prospect, all the things that we're doing. You know, one thing I do want to bring up though, Scott, that we're doing that I forgot to even mention to you the other day is we started a Trail Life program, which is to make it easy to understand, it's kind of like Boy Scouts, and it's a good solid program, and it's for young boys. It has several different levels. I guess you could almost plug it into the model of Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, but it's being done right. We're setting it up in a way. It's a national organization, and has some really good men in charge of doing that, and it'll be pretty neat to see how that goes forward.
The other day, somebody said something interesting to me, and I thought it would be an interesting topic for this show. It's the service groups going under. Recently in Marion, in the last year, we saw the Civitan Club, which had been around forever, go under after many, many years. Rotary does not have as many members as they used to. That is still the big club, but they don't have the members that they had. Kiwanis, last time I checked, was very small. The Lions Club, which you always heard about, is very small at this point. And other groups have just completely went by the wayside. And I asked the Civitan Club, interestingly enough, when they went under, because we work with them on a lot of events, I said, now, why are you going under? What happened? Is it, you know, can't raise money? Because that usually was the reason.
Right.
No, we can't get volunteers. The money was fine.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It's very difficult. You know, the church is far separate from a civic club, I hope. And we're not having that problem ourselves at all right now. But in volunteer things like that, where you actually put time in, and it's a civic club basically is what it is. It's something to help society, to help where you're at. They usually have a statement of what they believe, what they do, and for instance, the Lions Club has always been very big with helping with eyeglasses and those kind of things with people, and just different things of that nature. people just don't have the time, and they don't want to take the time. I don't want to say that it's because our young people aren't civic minded, because I know that when I am constantly getting calls throughout the year from young people wanting to put community service hours in and things of that nature. And if you ask young people, they'll come out and do it. One day last year, we had a lady in town in Prospect that her yard had not been attended in the back for probably, I bet, 20 years. And it was those little weed saplings. It was just horrible. And three boys showed up in a pickup truck and a chainsaw and a weed eaters and shovels and rakes, and those three boys, not charging any money, did that in 2 days, and that was during the summer, and they had the time, and they did it to do a good thing. So I don't think it's our young people not wanting to be involved. Let me ask you a question. What if part of it is that we used to have a generational gap? And now we have a generational chasm. I mean, it's so much bigger than a generational gap. And I think the thought process between those in their 50s and 60s and 70s now, and a lot of these clubs, 70s and 80-year-old guys, the thought process between them and the younger people, I don't think they mix to bring on young members that easy.
Well, it's definitely a big difference. We had somebody call in, and I don't know if she's listening. I know she's one of our regulars, and I certainly appreciate that. But she called in, it was Wednesday or Thursday this week, and was talking about this, and this is what made me think about it. She said she does Meals on Wheels.
Yes.
And a lot of her friends, I think she said, are people who knew that she does this, ask if she gets paid for it, does she get reimbursed for mileage, so on and so forth. And she said, well, no, she does it to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and people look at her dumbfounded that she would do this with no financial recompense. You know, and to me, that might be a generational thing, because I don't think somebody 80 years old would look at you like that and ask those questions. But I think somebody 30 or 40 years old might.
I think you're probably right. You're certainly probably right. I just remember, and I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I crested that 60 mark a couple years ago. But when I look back when I was younger, it wasn't that hard to find a Cub Scout leader. Or if they asked for volunteers in the church for Bible school or something, I mean, people just flooded you with it. And now, you know, you got to stay on top of it, or you'll have an event and no one will, you know. I don't want to tar everyone with that same brush, because we certainly have a far better situation in our church that I know of. But I know in general, people don't step up and volunteer. Their time to them. But maybe it's Scottish because time is so precious to people now.
It could be. And again, if anybody has an opinion on this is an hour where we will be taking phone calls, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944. The question is here, why are civic groups dying off? Why is attendance down? Why do we have trouble finding people to do things? When the Civitan Club goes under here in Marion because they can't get enough volunteers and it's not a financial thing, why is that? 740-383-9944. Now, do you think it has anything to do with cliques? That when you go and join a service group, you might know one person, maybe that's why you're joining it, but their buddies... You know, it's hard to infiltrate cliques.
It is, but I'll tell you, and because I have belonged to in the past to certain groups, I was a member of the Lions Club in Prospect for some time, and I've been involved in other groups of that nature. And I'll tell you, they are so hungry for new members that when a new person comes, they surround you with welcome it. They're very, very, very welcoming because they feel and know that need of having the people there. I don't think it's as click as maybe even it used to be. But I think the ideals are different in a lot of cases. You know, what their goals are versus... another thing, too, is, and I've watched this with some of our older guys and people, that, you know, they're dedicated to what they do. I mean, they truly are. You know, hey, this is the Lions Club car show. We're coming out. We're working it. We're doing this thing. And you're expected just to, hey, this is the time of year we do it. We drop everything and do it, or selling brooms or whatever it is. But when you approach a younger person and say, hey, this is what we do, you need to block out your time and dedicate it to this, they take offense to that because they're so time-strapped. I think that a lot of our time-strappedness is not just the fact that that we have so many other things going on. I don't think we're as organized as we used to be.
You know, when I think of something like Meals on Wheels, clearly we know what that is doing.
Right.
But when you say Kiwanis, you say Wyman, you
no
say
clue.
Lions Club, do you think they know
no.
where the money goes?
No.
What it's about?
No. I really don't. I know one of the biggest problems we have at... everyone loves the event in Prospect on the 4th of July. It's always been huge. People love it. COVID, we took a pretty good hit from that. And our Battle Run Fire Department, which I'm part of, would always split those duties with the Lions Club. And it was a great fundraiser for both of them for the year, and they did a lot of really neat things with it. And I know that some of the other businesses came in. I know Marty with Mike's Roofing always took care of fireworks and those kind of things. But, you know, even with that, you know, and just that one day and getting enough people to man all those stations it's a nightmare for those trying to get those spots filled. People just literally aren't going to say, hey, look, that's my 4th of July. I've got family, or whatever the case may be. There just isn't that dedication we used to have.
You know, there's something interesting that I found here in Marion. There was a group in Marion, and it was a civic organization. It still is a civic organization. And for many, many years, their membership declined. They had problems with the building they were in, things they couldn't afford to fix, and they got very close about 6 or 7 years ago to shutting the doors because they had nothing left. And then they came up with an event 4 or 5 years ago in which people liked, and it got doctors involved, it got lawyers involved, it got, you know, those big ticket people. And this event raised in one night thousands of dollars, and it's gone on since and has raised thousands of dollars. But this group, I don't know if membership is up for the group, and I don't even know if people know what the group is doing with these thousands of dollars, except the fact that they're a civic organization and they're there.
Right. I think that our groups are very, very much really dwindling in numbers. And most of them have to do things such as, a huge one is a fish fry, bingo. Those will attract people because it's something they want to come to. Hey, I'm going to go to the fish fry, and a lot of people love those. And then a lot of people, as we know, love bingo. So, you know, there's those type of events. Car shows are big. Anything, a lot of times something that has a chance of a return, you know, something that can be exciting to different people. But to go to a civic organization and to be committed to a meeting once a week or once a month or whatever it is, and sit there and listen to the minutes, and all of the, you know, another one that's struggling is 4-H. Getting enough 4-H advisors. 4-H is struggling. Now, we have my wife is a 4-H organizational advisor, and we have a club that runs about 35, which is pretty good. But it takes so much work, and you're always in that position of having the people to take care of all the aspects of whatever those kids are doing. And most cases, the parents just want to have the kids have a project, get it to the fair, get it done, and get home. And they're not all that way. But what I mean is, we are really more focused on my time today. And Scott, I really think it's because we just have gotten ourselves in a position we don't have it. I look at my own children, for instance. My son has 3 kids at home. The oldest is graduating this year. And then there's my granddaughter's a freshman, and then there's a 6th grader who is my youngest grandson in that family of those 3. Well, they're all involved in sports, and they're all involved in FFA, and they're all involved in junior fair board, and they're camp counselors, and they're, so are you getting a picture of where these parents have to run all the time? And it never ends. And then the fact that they have cousins that they want to make it to some of their meets and some of their games. I mean, Shirley and I, just to hit the kids individually throughout the year as we can, we're on the road constantly. We'll be on the road tonight. And it's because we, you know, I guess we made that mistake of having 15 grandkids. But you know, they all are active kids and they do things, so that's what you do. And when I talk to grandparents my age, that's where their time is going. They don't have time for the civic clubs anymore. You know, it's because we never used to have events like this at school to the extent that we do. Do you remember that?
Well, that's true. And, you know, I was just thinking, because my grandparents, and I've always said this, I was lucky they lived, all of them pretty much. I didn't have a grandparent die until I was in my late 20s, and all the rest of them lived into my 30s and 40s. So, you know, I knew my grandparents, and they were active people. They all drove, they all got around, they all lived in the area. But to be honest with you, when I look back to things I did with baseball, and I look back to school programs, and I look back to birthdays, maybe one of them came They certainly weren't going to everything.
I can never remember one time one of my grandparents being at anything I had at school, even once.
No, it wasn't constant.
It wasn't constant. And
if you did a play, they might come.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to go sit on the bleachers.
No. And my mom, you know, being the fact, you know, I lost my dad when I was a very young teenager, and my mom had to work a double jobs. So she wasn't even there. You know, for me to have a parent there was very, very rare. But today, I mean, that's... Parents are, I think that in a lot of it, that parents are also kind of living vicariously through their kids and reliving, you know what I mean? The parents get as wound up and involved in this stuff as the kids do. And, you know, what do they want to do? What would they rather do? What would you rather do or I rather do? Would you rather go sit on bleachers, watch kids play a game and enjoy yourself, laughing and clapping? There's a concession booth right there. Or would you rather go to a meeting that you're watching the clock to see when it's going to be over, and somebody's arguing about whether we need chrome or silver door handles to replace the doorknobs?
Well, I even wonder with kids, because I work with a lot of kids, and I'm not saying by and large this is the case, but I even wonder about these groups like FFA and junior service guilds and things like that kids are involved in, that we may call a kids service group. Now, are they in that because they really want to know what that group's about, or are they about that to hang out with their friends, get something maybe good on a college application? And not that that hasn't always been the case, but boy, I've noticed lately that I see the parents doing a lot of the work.
Well, I think we've always had that. When my kids were young, you know, we had the kids that did and the kids that didn't. And many times the kids that didn't and the parents did were the ones that went home with the prizes. And that's not always fair. But I also taught my kid, this is about what you're doing with what you've been asked to do. And this is about building your character. Don't worry about them. But I have to say this about things like FFA, Junior Fair Board, Junior Sir, all those different things. FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I have to say, those organizations are getting kids plugged in and involved in what's going on. It's very important to many of these kids. They have marks they have to meet, you know, and they have officers in what they do. They have to attend so many meetings, even in like Junior Fair Board. Most of those kids are also camp counselors, and they really love working with those kids in that week. So I think that it attracts a certain type of kid. Now, one of the things that the schools were doing years ago, I think they've gotten a little bit away from because of other programs they've adopted. But when they had kids that really weren't fitting anywhere, their grades weren't good, what am I going to do with this kid? They may stick them in FFA. And, you know, to look at that on the surface, they go, that's not fair because now you've got an underachiever in with these kids. He's going to disrupt it. But I'll be honest with you. I saw some of those underachievers because I was on my wife and I served on the FFA advisory committee as adults, speaking of civic things. But I've seen some of those kids come from a non-FFA background and not knowing what they want to do. And today are very, very active people in that, in agriculture or something stemming from what they learn. So I think they're great programs. A lot of it always comes back to the leadership too. What kind of leadership do you have? And how much time do they have to devote to these kids? And here's a big one. How much are they willing to keep moving forward when they don't see results? Because many times you don't see results right off. Or it may take a while to build anything at all. Nothing like having an event you plan for and a quarter of the people that you plan on being there show up. And that's discouraging to anyone that plans anything.
Well, you know, social media is playing a part in this as well because prior to 20 years ago, if you were a coach of a baseball team, or you were the coach of a little league team, or you were the coach of midget football, or whatever you did, a civic group, you were just there for that group of people and those kids, and that's who knew it, unless somebody happened to go to a game. And those games are not big attendance. But now we get to see the pictures. Look at blah, 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 helping blah, 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 and here we go, and look at this thing, and this is going to be great.
These kids have trading cards.
Exactly. So, you know, what brought that up is when you mentioned FFA. I mean, I spent a lot of time at the fair last year because we did broadcasts from the fair all week. And it was interesting to me that and I don't know if it was, they were the parents, but I don't know if it was the parents or the counselors, but there was even an event where the adults showed the animals. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I mean, what does that serve?
I think what you're seeing is that in a lot of our junior fair situations, because of numbers dwindling, they have combined what is called junior fair and senior fair in the same show. So what they'll do is they've always had a senior fair at a lot of these fairs where the adults actually did bring their stuff and do them. Well, what they've done is they've combined it so within the same show, it's cheaper too because you only have to hire one judge. And it's a shorter show, you don't have to go as long. At the end of each class, they may have the adult version of it. And they blend them kind of together, so you do have the adults do that. But I would say from my experience with most of the kids in FFA, most of them are doing the work. Most of them are doing the work because that's what they do. And I think it's really a good organization in that way. Another thing that's changed a lot... it's really funny. When I look back, I grew up in church. And when I say that, I mean we had a church we attended. And we had youth group on Sunday night. We had Bible study on Wednesday night. And every now and then, we'd have an event that we went to. We used to go to USA Skateland over off Morse Road. We'd do that maybe once a month or something of that nature. Well, everyone would go. And not only that, you could ask your friends in the neighborhood that didn't go to church if they wanted to come with you, and they'd go too. And the point was, there was nothing else to do. And that's why we went. It wasn't because they wanted to be, most kids, it wasn't because they wanted to be, you know, grow in the Lord and in the Word of God and grow. It was, hey, we don't have nothing else to do, let's go.
Well, I just wonder if you approach somebody, an adult, and you said, where we started this conversation about civic groups, and you said, okay, we know you have 3 nights a week free. Now, and you want to do something. Now, we have this one group over here that only has 10 members, and what we're doing is building wheelchair ramps for the handicap. Or we have this group over here that has 50 members, and we throw parties and galas and have wine tastings. Now, where is that person going to go? Where are they going to join?
Parties, galas, and wine tastings.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they don't need you. You're not needed there. I mean, they could do without you.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just think that we're tired as this culture. We have been stretched in so many directions. And we take things home with us. Something that was on my mind this morning as I was coming in, I was thinking about school teachers. And teachers in my family, you've certainly been in the school, and you understand, you know, I think that today teachers take far more home with them mentally than they did 25, 30 years ago. There are so many kids in the school that you see the backstory. You know what they're going home to. You know that the struggles you see when they come into school every day. Maybe they don't they don't have proper hygiene because it's not offered to them or shown to them. Maybe they struggle with enough to eat. Maybe there's abuse at home. We see so much more of that today than we used to see. Teachers, I think, have to have one of two things. Either a really, really strong backbone or... First of all, they have to have a lot of compassion or they couldn't stand to go to work. Or they have some odd ability to just build a wall and block it out. And I don't believe there's a lot of that going on. I think that our minds are full. I think that when we do get a break, and I'm just using the teachers as an example, but I think when we do get a break from what we have to do, we don't want to do. And I think that might be part of the reason for the wine tasting and not the ramp building. I'm going to get a break. I'd rather just go and enjoy myself and laugh for a change. I think there's a lot of that going on. I think there's a lot of emptiness, more emptiness in people today than I've seen in a long time in my life. And we don't have confidence in government. We don't have confidence in our income. We don't have confidence in our job. We've stopped going to church. We don't have that solid rock to hang on to of you know, faith has always been a huge part of every nation. whatever faith that is. It's always been something, and a lot of life has been, and a lot of grounding's been there. You know, I do A, B, or C because this is what I believe is right and we should be doing, or what God says to do. And we've taken that away. It's still out there, but it's so diminished that people are just kind of floundering, and I think they're tired. You think that at all, or am I just...
Well, I think people are tired, but you know, it's interesting, and I'm sure I've told this story before, but when I was student teaching years ago, it just so happens the group I was in, I also was working at a local restaurant through high school and college, and they ended up getting married, so I always refer to them as husband and wife now because they've been married for many, many years, but at that time they were just, you know, dating, and they were both in the same class that I was in. And when you student teach, you go to class one day a week, and then you go to the school and you student teach. Well, we all ended up at the same school, but in different classrooms. And the husband, the boy, this guy was very kid-centric. He was very interested in teaching. He had went through 3 years of school to get to student teaching to do this. And he got put in a classroom in this school, in this area, where he was so off-put by how the teacher talked about the students, he left the program. Left. And never became a teacher. Went into a whole other field. And what that story has always illustrated to me, even when teachers are, I think, trying to be proactive, when they're talking about, can you believe about this, 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 and this, to me, to this day, because of that event, that comes off as, you chose this job, if you can't do it, go find another job.
I was listening to a teacher one day that was talking about the teacher's lounge, or lunchroom.
Oh, never go in there.
Never go in there. But they said, here's what's really sad about that. You may have a student that not any teacher that in the school thinks highly of. Maybe they're a problem child in the classroom. But you have one teacher that really sees something in this kid and is trying to help him. Well, they'll go into that teacher's lounge and hear all the negative about this kid, and they leave feeling very negative about someone they were there to help. And I think that we have to be more guarded in what we let ourselves take in. I've talked to teachers that say, I don't even go in there anymore. You know, I'll eat at my desk, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the negativity. And I think that we have to be careful anywhere we go. And I'm not just with teachers. Put a bunch of pastors together. You know, they better be talking about their congregations and their in a good way. You don't want, you know, we live in an interesting time, Scott.
Well, everybody's got a vent. And I'm not saying that you can't
say. Oh, I do. We all do.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying you can't say, listen, anybody who says they never say anything negative is a liar. Plain and simple. It just happens. Sometimes you don't even mean to do it. It just comes out.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But... that
hopefully
being,
we catch ourselves.
We try. You know, you don't want to be negative. No. It doesn't help you any when we're negative, you know, the person themselves. But what I don't understand is, you know, like disliking a kid. Now, if you were in any other circumstance in life and you were 35 years old and you're there with a 16-year-old person and you're talking bad about them, people would look at you like you were nuts. Well, what? You're the adult. Be the adult. But in the teacher-student relationship,
it's different.
It's not looked upon like that.
Right.
Now, also, conversely, parents have changed in that they will, everything short of beat the teacher up. You know, it's not my fault my student's failing.
Oh, I know.
It's your fault.
I know it. You know, I've talked to many people about this. We've chuckled about it over the years that, you know, when I was a kid, if I got in trouble at school, I was in twice as much trouble when I got home and my parents found out. Even though I may have already been punished at school, I really got it at home. And today, when the kid goes home and says, this teacher did that, you know, in the majority of cases, the parents comes completely to the child's defense, blames the teacher, calls the teacher. I'm sure teachers get an earful sometimes. But what's happened there? Why has that changed, Scott?
Well, I think it's because the now this just my opinion, but I believe that there's a generation right now who are the parents of the kids who are very sensitive, and the kids' failures are the parents' failures as parents. So if I say your kid is disruptive in class, what I'm really saying is you didn't teach this kid well enough to do act as they need to act.
Exactly.
And now you've taken that well, that can't be because you're the perfect parent, I guess. And so it must be your fault. You're just interpreting this wrong. Because they don't act that way at home. You hear that a lot. They don't act that way at home.
You know, I think that there's one thing that plugs into this whole element that we're talking about, whether it's civic groups and lack of time and people being involved, whether it's proper parenting and good parenting, whether it's being involved in things in a rushed atmosphere. There's something that's really changed in the last 50 to 60 years that we may not be taking into account. When I was a kid in school, there might be a kid in my class, maybe two, that had divorced parents. Today, if you're a kid that does not have divorced parents, you're in the minority. So what I'm saying about that is that now we have multiple people trying to parent one child, or two child, or three or four. You know, you have the back and forth, one week at this person's house, one piece of that. You know, you have way, way, way a higher amount of single parents. So there's another problem that we add to this whole equation of, I don't have time for a civic group. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, I think some kind of sociological study should be done of this one thing, is that when I was growing up, now, my parents were not divorced, so they were together, and I was lucky because that was the time when there were a lot of divorces starting to go on, and a lot of my friends' parents weren't married. But my parents were good parents. I always had a Halloween costume. I always had Christmas. I always was with family. I always had Thanksgiving, birthday parties. You know, it was fine. Family vacations. But I never heard my parents say that I was their life, that they had to devote 100% of the time of their existence to take care of me. Now, today's parents, I hear that a lot, that I can't do that. I can't do that other thing because I have to be there for my kid. I can't do that other thing because I don't have the time for that. And they almost take it to the point where it stresses them to such a degree.
It does.
My parents didn't do that, and I think I turned out fairly okay.
You know, I've in watching my grandchildren growing up and being around people, I've seen so many parents that are so invested time-wise and every other way in their child and what their child's going to be, that especially in athletics, that sometimes by the time the kid gets to be a sophomore or a junior in high school, they just say forget it and walk away because the kid's burnt out. I mean, they've been pushed that hard and the parents have invested all their time. You know, one of the big things right now that's out there that is really taking a lot of money from parents, where maybe they have to get extra work to even do this, is personal trainers. Personal trainers for kids, for kids in athletics. I can name several off the top of my head right now that I know that, you know, they have one or two nights a week where they go see their personal trainer and to make them better in whatever sport it is. We didn't used to have travel ball on top of the school sports. We have travel ball now. And the parents, you're right, they invest all their time into their kids in that way. You know, my mind's bobbing around here. One of the commercials I really like is I forget what the commercial, what they're advertising, but where they have the talk about all this other stuff and what it costs, and it says, you know, hours spent with dad, priceless.
Yeah.
You know, parents need to understand that one-on-one time of just listening to your child, talking about the real things in life, being there is so much more important than the shiny, the flash, and pushing them to be something that maybe they don't even in their heart want to be.
You know, there's a saying that I really like, and I apply it to every walk of life, whether it be your job or it be your kids or whatever. And it's very simple. If you don't go away, how can I miss you? You know, because if you're there all the time, and you're doing everything, eventually that kid will treat you for granted that you're just going to be there. Now, I'm not saying you leave the house and move away for days, but I'm saying at some point, you better have a life of your own, because if you don't, what's the example for that kid to have a life of their own? They better have one, too. It's mental health.
Yes, absolutely. I know a lady that's a guidance counselor in one of our school districts that I've known the family for years, and we were talking one day about her daughter and about the sports she was involved in, and she said that she and her husband had told their daughter, you've got one sport a year, pick it, because the rest of the time we're a family. And I thought, how cool is that? And they've got a wonderful daughter, and she accepted that role, and she loves what she does. You know, my kids, God has blessed me with four great kids. They're well-adjusted adults. They're good people. They're great parents, all those things that you want. And I attribute that to two things. One is I personally gave each one of those kids' lives to God and said, God, I can't do it. You need to protect them, watch out for them, guide them. But the other thing I think is they knew that I loved them. They knew they were loved. They didn't get the best of the best. They didn't get a nice new shiny car when they turned 16. They didn't have new clothes every time they wanted them. We didn't have money. We didn't have money to do hardly anything. But the point being, they knew that I loved them, and it was because of that one-on-one time. It was that personal interest. And parents, I want to tell you something out there, and this goes back to the civic thing too. Find something that you can sink your teeth into that means something and do it. You could frivolously run around all you want and spend all the money you want on all these things that are shiny, fly around like a bunch of crows looking for diamond rings on the ground, or you can choose something that is solid and right. And share it with your child.
And by the way, I do want to remind people that we do have about 9 minutes left here, and if you want to comment on anything we've talked about or ask a question about anything, we can bring anything up during this hour and will for the weeks to come. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any question, comment, whatever you have. You know, I had a real epiphany recently because I do teach, and I've done that now for 4 years in the school, you know, 5 days a week. And recently, the kids there, students, found out that I was on the radio. So they Googled me, and they were watching videos and the things that I've done. It was right after the Bill Cosby thing. I think that spurred it. But in any event, I thought, you know, now they know that I'm here obviously getting paid to be in this education setting. That didn't impress them. But, you know, here, but now that they know that I do this, you know, I have a girl now in that class who comes up to me every day, pretty much, and says, who'd you have on today? Now, what that says to me, it's nothing to do with me or this job or anything of that nature. It's that this is not me parenting anybody, but by example, it's something they like. And that's where the missing happens.
Good point.
That's where the missing happens.
Very good point.
Yeah.
You know, we lead by example, not by words.
Exactly. And boy, parents don't like when you tell them they're not doing the right thing. But I think that's a big misconception with parents today. That being, oh, you want me to take you to the grocery store? You want me to get you a snack? You want me to take you to the fast food place? That's all nice, and they'll appreciate that, I think, to some degree. But when do you show them that anything is possible, that having a good social life, showing a good relationship with a you know, person of the opposite sex, if you happen not to be married, you can't tell them that.
You've got to show them that.
I've
often said, and it's been said by many people many times, and we read it, we know it to be true, the boys learn how to treat a woman from their father.
Exactly.
And girls learn how to treat a man by their mother. So think about that. You know, you want the best for your daughter, the best for your son. How are you treating the one that you're with? And, you know, kids do learn, and everyone doesn't always see what goes on behind the scenes. You know, I know families that have been financially in very dire straits, that have not had much, but they had that close family bond, and you see the quality family that turns out, and it's because there's something greater than things, and there's something greater than the image we project.
Well, and you know something, and on this, because I think this is so important, kids are not dumb. If a kid sees you going through relationships like toilet paper, do you think they don't understand? Do you think they're going to take your advice on how to have a good relationship?
No, but what's really sad is Scott, kids have a tendency to mimic it anyway.
That's right. It's all they know.
It's all they know. And, you know, they're not going to have those relationships that last because mom didn't, dad didn't. You know, this is what I've seen. This is what I know. I think one of the hardest things, and you'll see, you've worked with kids, one of the hardest things with working with kids is seeing kids with a real potential. And you see them grasping onto the solid things you're teaching or you're leading or you're guiding them. And there gets to be that age when they're nearing that adulthood and all they want to do is please mom and dad, and they end up doing exactly what their parents did. And hopefully some of that the things you try to instill in them when they're positive at some point take root and that they turn their lives around. But I can have kids all day long. I can teach them all day long, all week long. I can do whatever I want. But that parent that may only see them once every 2 weeks has more bearing on how that child's going to turn out than I ever dream of. So this thing of blaming teachers for the way our kids are in school, I don't buy it.
No, I don't. I've never believed. I mean, even if you do, by whatever reason, happenstance, even if the teacher is around the kid more than the parent is, I don't think that the kid sees the teacher in the same way.
No.
First of all, you don't know what the teacher's personal relationships are in the classroom. You don't know, are they married? Are they? You don't see that part of it. You don't see how they keep house. You don't see how they eat. You don't see that. So even if they are around the teacher more often, that example is, all you're really seeing is how they treat you when you're with them.
That's I'll give you an interesting example of that. Someone had made a comment on social media about a man that I knew many, many, many years ago that was far older than me when I was a kid. And he was a man that taught part-time in the school. He was very involved. He was had a wonderful singing voice. Everyone just loved this guy. And I made a comment about, you know, a positive comment back on him. And lo and behold, his daughter, which I knew in school, and I'd not heard of since I'd been in school, fired back immediately and says, "You don't know the monster he was." And then she started texting messages back and forth and telling me the monster that he was and how she has totally pulled away from every value that he claimed to have, because at home he was a total monster to the entire family and beat them and was crazy mean, and I would have never dreamed it.
Isn't that funny? The split personality is something. And we see it all the time now, because you will find these people in very public settings and then come to find out they're doing things that are really, really strange.
And that may be a cause of lack of civil organization stuff, too. We never know, you know. People hear so many stories coming out of different organizations where people embezzle money, all that. And they just say, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty with it.
Well, and I'll tell you, that is a tough one for people because, there are so many laws in place now and so many people who are out to try to get these civic organizations.
It's sad.
Yeah, it's sad because, I mean, in honesty, if you're not a CPA, I mean, do you really know all the rules? Probably not.
I know, and I know we got to wrap this up, but the interesting thing, you mentioned that. I know of a civic organization, rather large organization, that recently there was a hint of some things that were maybe not going on in one of their, an out branch of them. And they launched their own internal investigation so that they could stay one step ahead of the news media, because they knew that the news media was going to grab it and dig into it. And before the news media had a chance to bury them, they wanted to find out what was really going on in clean house themselves.
And that's the way to do it. Always get who. Somebody said that recently. It was a local politician. I remember thinking, boy, that's the wise thing to say. Is they said, if anything is ever going on in your life, say it first.
Expose it
first. Say it first. Say it honestly.
And then it's out there.
Then they got nothing. What are they going to say? Say
not
what you
the
said?
Time people, things people get in trouble for. If they came clean and said, you know, I've done this in my life, and I feel, and I really repent of that, I that's not me, I ask for forgiveness, but, you know, and handled it in that way, they'd survive. But yeah. When the bombshells dropped, all of a sudden you hit it, and yeah. you were devious.
Well, especially when it's so, and I can understand in some cases, because if you're saying one thing all the time, and then we find out in your private life you're doing another, I think that is probably the only case that even if you got out in front of it, they would still say hypocrite.
And rightfully so, Scott.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Walk the walk and talk the talk. I say, be careful what you criticize.
Absolutely. You know what? I'll say this as a pastor. This is the last statement I'm going to make. If you're a pastor, if you're a person out there, and you tell someone that you love people and you care about them, you better be that person.
Do want to let people know this show will repeat, as the Pastor Spot always did, on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 3:10 until 4 p.m., and then Sunday mornings from 8:10 until 10 a.m., and we'll be back next Friday live from 9:10 until 10 p.m., and it'll also be on the website. By the way, check out this program. If you only caught a little bit of it today, it will be under Over the Back Fence on the WWGH1071.com archives page. Hey, great first show back doing it this way, and we'll continue on.
Thank you, Scott.
Your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very well. What a busy week for you, sir.
I have to tell you, I have not slept in days. I'm very, very excited.